Hi, this is Dan. Thanks for listening to my podcast. I trust that it'll encourage you and build your faith. If you'd like to connect with me further, visit my website at revivalnow.com. You can find me on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at RevivalNowDanSteep and Twitter at RevivalNowDan. You can also download the Revival Now app. Enjoy the podcast and share it with a friend. Welcome to the Dan Steep Podcast. I'm Dan Steep, and the subject is Bible prophecy for this episode. We're going to be talking about the Battle of Armageddon. Has the Battle of Armageddon already begun? Because there's a lot of activity taking place in terms of wars and conflicts around the world. So we're going to begin by reading from Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 through 8. It's a highly prophetic chapter, Matthew 24 and 25, with Jesus speaking about the last days and the end times. And in Matthew 24, 6 to 8, it reads, "And you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world, but all of this is only the first of birth pains with more to come." So this, what we're even seeing and experiencing currently in the world is nothing more than the birth pains of what's to come. See, we're living in the last days, but not the end times. And the differentiator between the last days and the end times is the rapture of the church. We have been living in the last days since Acts chapter 2, and will continue in the last days up until the rapture of the church. Once the church is removed from the earth, at that point, we enter into the end times. So these are birth pains. Has the Battle of Armageddon already begun? Well, let's first take a look at what is Armageddon. I mean, it's a word that's thrown around. It's used in Hollywood. There was even a movie, Armageddon, which really had nothing to do with the real Armageddon. So what is Armageddon? Well, Armageddon is mentioned 16 times in the Hebrew Bible, but only one time in the English Bible. And that's found in Revelation chapter 16, verse 16. And I'll turn there and read that, because I know many of you listen to me on the road driving, and you don't have the ability to look up the scriptures in the moment. So Revelation chapter 16, verse 16 says, "And the demonic spirits gathered all the rulers and their armies to a place with the Hebrew name Armageddon." So the word Armageddon is made up of the Hebrew words har, which means mountain or hill, and Megiddo, which is a city in ancient Israel. This Battle of Armageddon is the sixth of the seven bowl judgments. They're scroll judgments. Trumpet judgments and bowl judgments, each successive in severity. And the bowl judgments are, the seven bowl judgments are the third in that series of three judgments. And the bowl judgment is the sixth of the seven, or the Battle of Armageddon is the sixth of the seven bowl judgments. It's the climactic war of the Great Tribulation, when all the armies of the earth gather to attack Israel in an attempt to finally eradicate the Jewish people. They're going to capture Jerusalem, but Jesus Christ will return to destroy the invading armies and deliver the faithful Jewish remnant. So it's really a setup. This wicked coalition of armies of the world are trying to eradicate the Jewish people and Israel. And God's going to allow it up to a point, but then the checkmate is coming. And it's a setup, and he's going to destroy the invading armies of the world with the breath of his mouth and the splendor of his coming, as the scripture says. Now, this battle of Armageddon is prophesied in Judges 5:19 and by a myriad of Old Testament prophets, such as Ezekiel and Daniel, Zechariah, Zephaniah, Joel, many. I'll read some of these. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 40, that's Daniel 11:40. Then at the time of the end, the king of the south will attack the king of the north. The king of the north will storm out with chariots, charioteers, and a vast navy. He will invade various lands and sweep through them like a flood. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8, therefore be patient, says the Lord. Soon I will stand and accuse these evil nations, for I have decided to gather the kingdoms of the earth and pour out my fiercest anger and fury upon them. All the earth will be devoured by the fire of my jealousy. And then Joel chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, let the nations be called to arms. Let them march to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I, the Lord, will sit to pronounce judgment on them all. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, tread the grapes, for the winepress is full. The storage vats are overflowing with the wickedness of these people. Thousands upon thousands are waiting in the valley of decision. There the day of the Lord will soon arrive. So that's the basic understanding of Armageddon. Now, when is the battle? When does this battle of Armageddon take place? Well, there's no doubt that global events are paving the way for this great war of history. But has the battle of Armageddon begun? Well, there are some key things that need to happen in order for this battle of Armageddon to begin. And I'm going to read a scripture. And I might read all three of these, but I'll certainly allude to them that really give you an indication of when the battle is. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, this is in the midst of Daniel's vision of 70 weeks. And in the 27th verse, it says, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. So let me talk you through this scripture. It says, he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. The he that is being prophesied about in Daniel 9:27 is the Antichrist. And this covenant that he's going to confirm for 1 week, that 1 week is 7 years. And the Antichrist is going to sign a peace treaty with Israel, a 7-year peace treaty. Now, then it goes on to say, in the middle of the week, he'll bring an end to sacrifice and offering. In the middle of the 7-year tribulation, at the 3.5-year mark, the Antichrist will break the peace treaty with Israel. He's going to bring an end to their sacrifices and worship in the temple. And it says, on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate. The abomination of desolations is when the Antichrist sets up an image of himself in the temple in Jerusalem and requires people to worship it. But it says, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out upon the desolate, which is, that's going to continue for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. And it's going to come to an end when this consummation is poured out upon the desolate. This Jesus destroying the Antichrist along with his coalition armies. That's how the 7-year tribulation period ends. It ends with the Battle of Armageddon, which brings about the second coming of Christ, who returns to win a decisive victory over the Antichrist and his coalition armies of the world. But there are some things that have to take place, one of which is this. First of all, the Antichrist has to be revealed, and he won't be revealed until after the rapture of the church. Upon being revealed, at a certain point very soon, he's going to sign a peace treaty with the nation of Israel. He's going to break that peace treaty at the 3.5-year point. Things are going to get worse upon worse leading up to the Battle of Armageddon, which is going to take place at the end or toward the very end of the 7-year tribulation period. So that has to take place. In Revelation chapter 16, verse 12, it prophesies about the drying up of the Euphrates River. That has to take place because it could become basically a military superhighway for the armies from the north to come in and invade Israel. And in Revelation chapter 9, verse 16, it speaks about a 200 million man army. These things all have to come together for this great military coalition, 200 million man army to invade Israel and take her to the brink, which brings about the second coming of Christ and his decisive victory over the Antichrist and this coalition army. Well, how will the battle end? Well, the first beast, which is the Antichrist's last stand, this is going to be it. Leading the largest army ever assembled. And how's it end? In slaughter at the hands of Jesus himself. Along with his called and chosen faithful ones. Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. Revelation chapter 17, verse 14 reads that together they will go to war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will defeat them because he is the Lord of all lords and King of all kings, and his called and chosen and faithful ones will be with him. That's his angel army, and that's actually even the raptured church. We're going to return with him to fight that battle. And the Antichrist's global reign will end very suddenly. And I would call your attention to Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 21. And I'll read these words with you. Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a winepress. On his robe, at his right thigh, was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, shouting to the vultures flying high in the sky, Come, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared. Come eat the flesh of all the kings, generals, and strong warriors, of horses and their riders, and of all humanity, both free and slave, small and great. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together. Remember, the first beast is the Antichrist. I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army. And the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast, miracles that deceived all who had accepted the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue. Both the beast and his false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Their entire army was killed by the sharp sword that came from the mouth of the one riding the white horse. And all the vultures, all gorged themselves on the dead bodies. And that's how it will end. This is the second coming of Christ. Why are we, those raptured saints, dressed in white? Because we won't be fighting. It is finished. We'll be there with him, but Jesus is going to handle this one on his own, ushering in a new heaven and a new earth. And that's how the Battle of Armageddon will end. So I've asked and answered for you, has the Battle of Armageddon begun? We've defined it. We've talked about when it'll take place and how it will end decisively. And you can be a part of this battle by Jesus' side. But in order to do that, you have to be part of the rapture of the church. And in order to be a part of the rapture of the church, you have to be a part of the church. Because the church is who Jesus is going to come and rapture or catch up out of the earth before the great 7-year tribulation begins. So, an intelligent person might ask, how can I make sure that I'm a part of the church? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because I believe you're an intelligent person. You see, the church is not something that you can join. You can only be born into the church. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you must be born again. How are you born into the church? You see, the church, first of all, is not a building. It's not a denomination. The church, the Greek word for church is the word ekklesia, and it means the called out ones of God. If you're born again, you have been called out from God from this world of sin, and you're his. You're born into his church. If you've not yet prayed a simple prayer of salvation to accept the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and his salvation, God's calling you. He's calling you right now. He's calling you out of this world of sin and heartache. But you have to respond to his call. You have to say yes to the free offer of salvation offered through Jesus Christ. How do you do that? I'm going to give you three words that start with the letter R. Recognize, repent, and receive. First, you must recognize your sinfulness. You have to be willing to humble yourself and acknowledge sin in your life. It really shouldn't be hard if you're willing to humble yourself, because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Once you're willing to recognize that your sin is what's killing you, and it's not just killing you, but it's killing the people around you, and that the only way to peace is through faith in Jesus Christ, now you can do the second word that starts with an R, which is repent. The word repent simply means to change your mind, change your direction, to change your lifestyle. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, and you will perish too unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. To repent is to turn away from a lifestyle of sin and turn to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and the salvation of your soul. All that's left to do after your will, after you recognize and repent, is simply to receive, which is to commit your heart to Him by faith. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. I'd like to offer a simple prayer of salvation for you. This prayer encompasses all three of these words: to recognize, repent, and receive. And if you'll repeat this prayer after me from a place of sincerity in your heart, you can know this very day that your sins are forgiven, you're born again, and you will be a part of the rapture of the church. And therefore, you'll be a part of this great battle by Jesus' side. Would you pray that prayer with me? Just repeat these words after me right now. Say these words. Say, Heavenly Father, I admit that I've sinned. I believe Jesus died for my sins, and He rose from the grave to give me victory over sin and death. I confess my sinfulness. I repent and turn away from my sin. Please forgive me of my sin. Wash me in the cleansing blood of Jesus and come into my heart and make me a new person. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer together with me, welcome to the family of God. You're my newest brother or sister in Christ by virtue of the new birth. And if you prayed that prayer with me, first, let me say this. Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And when you prayed that prayer with me, you called upon the name of the Lord. So by the authority of God's holy word, and as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I tell you today that you're saved. You're born again. Your sins are forgiven. And you're on your way to heaven because you have Jesus in your heart. Congratulations for making the most important decision you'll ever make. If you prayed that prayer with me, please go to our website at revivalnow.com. Revivalnow.com. When you go to our website, you're going to find a big red button on the front page that says, I just got saved. Click that button, and it'll take you to a place where you can view some video resources that I've prepared for you to help you get started in your Christian life. And there's a place to fill out your contact information. If you fill out your contact information, we're going to send some resources to you to help you get started in your Christian life. And we're going to pray for you by name. So just go to revivalnow.com, click I just got saved, and follow the prompts from there. And while you're there, you can subscribe to our e-newsletter while you're there at our website at revivalnow.com. It's completely free. You just have to subscribe, and you'll be able to stay up to date with the latest happenings of the ministry of Revival Now. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for joining me on this episode. I trust that it's been a blessing to you. It's a blessing to me every time that I get to share God's word. And I trust that it's been a blessing and an encouragement to you. Always know that you can continue to look for new podcast episodes because we're uploading them regularly because we want to give good biblical teaching to as many people that want to hear it. But you can also go to our website at Revival Now and find out how to catch all of our teachings, all of my teachings on YouTube and Facebook and directly on the website as well. And you can find out how God is moving and working through this ministry to reach 1 million souls for Christ in a 10-year window of time that ends in 2031. So thank you for joining me. God bless you. Until next time, be blessed in Jesus' name.